Let's take our Bibles and look again in Jeremiah chapter 28. We continue our reading and commentary through this prophet, Jeremiah, who prophesied the demise of the tribe of Judah. Judah and Benjamin were the two remaining tribes. The 10 tribes had already been taken away from the north 100 years earlier. And Judah had followed in the footsteps of the idolatry of those 10 tribes. And now Jeremiah was raised up to pronounce a message of condemnation. And of course, people don't like to hear that, especially if they're self-righteous and religious. They don't think themselves to be that bad. I've gotten myself in trouble before for telling people that meet for places in places of worship here in the United States that they're full of idolaters. Most people think of idolaters as being over there in some third world country, bowed down in front of a tree or a river. But idolatry is any form of worship that is not in accord with this word and giving the Lord Jesus Christ all the glory. I don't care where you look, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. There are preachers today who pretend like some portions of the scripture are more for conduct and for principles of living. They use those terms. It's not everything has to do with Christ. And if a preacher does not open this word to found Christ, he's an idolater. And he's misleading the people, much as we see here with Hananiah, who was a prophet in Jeremiah's day. We were introduced to him in the last chapter. It says here in verses 1 through 4, and it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, unto me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king. So here's this prophet that's saying he's speaking in the name of the Lord, like so many do when they stand up. Well, I've got a word from the Lord today. Well, if it's not according to this word, then there's no light in it. And everything that Hananiah here was declaring in the face of Jeremiah contradicted the very message that the Lord had given Jeremiah to declare. See, Hananiah was declaring that that first group of people that were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, because he came down 3 different times. It wasn't until the last time, which is what Jeremiah was preparing them for, when he came down, it would be to destroy the temple and the city. But Hananiah is like, no. Yes, these were carried away into captivity, but within 2 years, you see what he said there? Verse 3, within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house. The Lord had revealed to endure 6 years. But this was willful on the part of Hananiah. And he was well-intended, thinking that he wanted to give some kind of hope to people, even though it contradicts the word. That's like preachers today. They want to give some hope to somebody rather than preach a very distinctive message of salvation through the cross alone, and anything outside the cross is condemnation. Many today don't like to draw the line that clearly, but it's just as plain as what the scriptures declare. And so here's Hananiah. He was a prophet and a son of a prophet, but he didn't like Jeremiah's message. We saw that last time in Jeremiah 27, 1 through 11. And Jeremiah came wearing this yoke that the Lord said to put on. This was an oxen yoke that he would use, a visual, walking around in the temple to show that they would remain subjected to Nebuchadnezzar and any thoughts of successful revolt, because back in Jeremiah 27, there were some that were thinking, well, because Nebuchadnezzar at this point was distracted by other problems, as his nation continued to grow, that this would be a good time for them to revolt. And they thought if they revolted, that somehow they could be successful. It's interesting that Hananiah, that name that's given him, actually means Jehovah has been gracious. It's true, the Lord has been gracious, but not to everybody. That's where preachers also want to broaden the definition of grace. They even talk in terms of common grace. There's no common grace. It's special grace. It's redeeming grace. It's particular grace. It's justifying grace for that people that God has purposed to save. There were these to whom the Lord would be gracious, such as Jeremiah, Daniel, some of these others that lived during this time, some of the other prophets that we know lived during this particular time, Joel, Amos, Hosea, Micah, Zephaniah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Those are all prophets that lived during this era. And the Lord certainly was gracious to them. This Hananiah, it says specifically in verse 1, came from Gibeon. If you study a little bit of the history of the Gibeonites, they're the first ones that deceived the Israelites in Joshua's day, made it look like they had come from afar. And when Joshua discovered their deception, he put them into bondage as water carriers for the temple. Also, it was in Gibeon that David contested with Saul, David's men, and Joab killed one of Saul's men. So this was about probably 25 or 5 miles northwest of Jerusalem, if you look on a map, not far from where the city where Jeremiah was making his proclamation. This is where Hananiah originated. But you can see what he declares in the name of God. And I'm always suspicious whenever someone says they have a word from the Lord. That's not a light thing. You can see here how he spoke as if the Lord had given him this word. Because in verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, used right terms, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Well, that was the lie. He used the name of the Lord, and that's the blasphemy. But it was a lie that he spoke that within 2 years, the Lord would bring back people that had been taken up into captivity already in that first captivity, first exile. No doubt Ananias' message was popular. It's like people that try to preach and broaden the message of God with regard to salvation. It's saying, well, they know that God has his elect, for example, that he's chosen. But if you're truly sincere and desire, how many times have you heard people preach that? If you really desire salvation, God can save you, even though you may not be one of his elect. Well, that, you find that nowhere in Scripture. If a person is not elect of God, for whom Christ paid the debt, they'll never desire salvation as God described it. But there are many that want to make a broad stroke. Even some that preach Christ's death being sufficient for everybody, but efficient for the elect. They want to say, in some sense, I've heard Riches started that way. There's a sense in which God or Christ died for everybody in the world. That's maybe your sense, but it's not what the scripture declares. Our word said very plainly, he didn't pray for the world, but for those the Father had given. And so this might surprise here after Hananiah confronts Jeremiah, because that's what he's doing here. When he says, I'll break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Verse 5, then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. And when you look at that, you might think, well, is he agreeing with Hananiah? He's being sarcastic. Amen. The Lord do so. In other words, were that truly what the Lord had declared, that would be a good thing. The Lord performed thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon unto this place. So Hananiah was in essence calling out Jeremiah, calling him a false prophet. And when Jeremiah said here, Amen, he's saying it in the sense that would that it were so, because this was his own desire for the people. Would that it were true that the captivity would only last 2 years and that the exiled captives would be brought back. But now as you read on in verses 7 through 9, that's why I say never stop just partway through a text, 7 through 9. Now Jeremiah makes it plain. Nevertheless, you see the contrast. Amen. Were that so? Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. See, those that preach a false message are to be confronted. Whenever we hear them proclaiming a false message, we are to declare what the Lord has said, even if it means denouncing them. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly said it. What Jeremiah is saying here is these prophets that have gone before, that were raised up, and just like Jeremiah, were given a message of condemnation against countries and against kingdoms, war and evil and pestilence, all these things that they were raised up to declare. Jeremiah's saying, my message is not out of line with those prophets. But if there were a prophet who were to speak peace, that God raised them up to speak, then it would be clear in the result. It says, the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. But you just don't go around speaking peace to anybody. That's what Jeremiah is saying. He didn't deny that there were God's messengers that did bring the word of peace. But if it was going to be peace according to how God declared it. Just like the word to Isaiah there in Isaiah 40, speak comfortably unto my people, the Lord said. Well, they're specific to my people. Who is it that we speak peace to? Those that God himself has set apart in his grace and mercy for whom Christ paid the debt. That's it. We're not to declare peace to anybody apart from the work of Christ. So what Jeremiah is saying there is that if the Lord had spoken peace, and truly was speaking peace even through this Hananiah, it would be known in the result, the consequence. Well, we know what happened. We know that Hananiah was a false prophet because it didn't come to pass. Here in verses 10 and 11, you can see just how Hananiah now is manifesting his own rebellion. Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. This was a wooden yoke. Grabbed it off of Jeremiah and he broke it, slammed it down, but he broke it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of the people. He doubles down on his false prophecy. Of all the people saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And I love this. The prophet Jeremiah went his way. Never said a word. He had spoken already what the Lord had given him to say. I think about, again, Jeremiah being a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many times when they resisted him and mocked him for what he declared, our Lord simply turned and left them to themselves. That's not a good thing. When it says here that he turned and went his way. Jeremiah, even though it seemed that Hananiah had gained the upper hand, but there's that last word which the Lord gives his prophets, which once they've spoken, then there's nothing more to say. And that's really what's being declared here. And to show how Hananiah was wrong in his prophecy, you see in verse 12 through 14 now, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. That's what the law does. If a person thinks that somehow they can break the law, then all the law can do is come with even greater force. Anybody that thinks that somehow they can answer God's law and do it in a deceptive way, they're only going to find greater condemnation and judgment. That's what the yokes of iron represent here. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I will put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. They shall serve him. Who is that one that can resist God's purpose and question him and say, what doest thou? He said, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. So everything was going to be given over to Nebuchadnezzar. There again, we see God's sovereignty, even in his power over a pagan king. Nebuchadnezzar may have thought that he was the one by his power that was subjecting all these nations to him, but it actually was the Lord raising him up to fulfill his purpose. And so verses 15 to 17, here's the final word to Hananiah. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet. See, there's prophets and then there's the prophet. Hananiah was the prophet known for that in the land and yet not the Lord's prophet. Like people take titles to themselves today, pastor, preacher, even to the point of reverend, which is an abominable term. But it says, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Here it is again, that anything that is not the clear exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work is a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. Notice, he was predicting in 2 years that they would come back from captivity. The Lord said to him, this year thou shalt die. Whatever you were prophesying, you won't even live out the year because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. And notice, so Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Didn't even make it a year. 7 months. I think about preachers that have come and gone, and we have their writings today, and people like to go back and quote them as if they were somehow God's servants. And yet you read what they wrote in you, and you, it was at a time where there was actual audio recordings, you go back and listen to them. But who were proclaiming a lie. They're not declaring the God of Scripture as sovereign and ruler over all. They're not preaching men as being utterly depraved and hopeless in their sin and their depravity. And they're not preaching the work of Christ as the only salvation of God's people. What they're doing is preaching up man's will. Just listen for it. And yet they've come and gone. And they've perished right along with those that have followed them, because they have taught a lie. It's a rebellion against the Lord. We're not to take it lightly. A lot of people say, well, they were misdirected. You know, they were a liar. Hear it very clear. It says in verse 15, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. So beware how you hear, beware what you hear. There is a word of the Lord. Everything is to be compared with what's written here. And as it says there in one of the prophets, if they do not speak according to this word, it says then that there is no light in them. They've never known the Lord. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the warnings. I thank you that you do give direction through this word, that we take heed not only what we hear, but how we hear, and that we listen for, as sheep listen for the voice of the shepherd. We listen for that voice of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through your Spirit and in this word that directs our hearts to him and him alone. And pray that you would bless the rest of our time together in your word. Give you the praise, honor, and glory in Christ's precious name.